Captain's log, stardate 41636.9. As feared, our examination of the 7-year overdue Federation freighter Odin, disabled by an asteroid collision, revealed no life signs. However, 3 escape pods were missing, suggesting the possibility of survivors.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske File. We're continuing our Let's Watch of Star Trek The Next Generation. This one is episode 14 of season 1. It's called Angel One. The light plot synopsis would go as follows. In this episode, an away team visits a world dominated by women to search for survivors of a downed freighter, while the crew of the Enterprise suffer from a debilitating illness. This one, I'm joined by my friend Sean and also by my friend Clay, who Clay has some stuff you can look at. I'll put links into the description below. But we have a pretty good take, I think, on what is a pretty bad episode of Star Trek. But this one was written by Patrick Barry, directed by Michael Ray Rhodes, and those are the only credits that originally aired back in January 25th, 1988. Well, that's about it. We'll stay light on the intro as we did last episode, and we are going to get into this episode, Angel One, right after this.
This is quite unnecessary, Doctor. I'm fine.
You're infected with the virus, Captain. In my opinion, you are no longer physically able to effectively command this vessel.
That is ridiculous, Doctor. I'm an away team down there in less than friendly territory. And in addition, I have an appointment with several Romulan battle crews.
You have an appointment in your cabin, Captain, with your bed.
Is that an order, Doctor?
Yes.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We are up to episode 14 of season 1 of Star Trek The Next Generation. The episode is called Angel One. Everything will be gone over in the front half of the episode here. I'll tell about all the information and everything, but I'm joined by special guests. I have Sean and Clay sitting right here with me to discuss this episode. Say hello, everybody.
Hey, guys. Hello.
And we just got done watching Angel One, which is something.
Angel One of many.
Angel One of many. So this is the episode where they go to a planet where there's a lot of sexism happening. And the A story is that Riker and a few of the others go down to the planet and they collect this crew that had crashed from a freighter, right? Mm-hmm. And the B line is that people get sick on the Enterprise. Yeah. So we'll just run through the plot as it stands. So it opens up with Angel One is a oligarchy that Data or someone tells them about, and they make contact and they're very unfriendly. And they want to go to this planet to rescue a freighter, I guess, is the... I was confused about half the episode just because I was like, I don't understand why they can't... Why they can't just, like, beam them off of the planet kind of thing.
Yeah, right? Well, they didn't know where they were, first of all. So, right?
Yeah, right. So they need to find Platinum or something. But it's one of those...
I don't know if we were just making jokes at the beginning of the episode where they explained where the freighter was, but I don't think they just said there's a freighter and they need to look for the people. There was no like, oh, we found the destroyed freighter or anything. It was just, there's some escape pods, we need to find them.
No, it's like classic bad writing in this one where they're like, there's a freighter. And you're like, all right, go there. And then they're like, well, even though we've just beamed everybody else out, you know, previously, we have to actually go down and find them. They can't locate them on the planet. So it's that kind of thing. But I guess the first thing, just so we don't have to talk about it afterwards, is the all of the early episodes in this show have A and B storylines that don't at all intersect with each other, which is funny. And this B storyline might be like the stupidest. The B storyline is everyone gets sick, and it's funny knowing later on, like they come down with a mild illness. I guess would be the best way to put it.
Like yeah, like a middle road cold.
And it's funny because in later episodes, Picard is like brutally tortured, you know, and he doesn't crack. But this one, he's like, oh, and then he has a mild cough, and they're like, get him out of here.
Yeah, he was really chilly.
To be fair, though, I actually wrote this down. I was thinking, having a cold in space might be like the last thing I'd ever want to have in my life. Either that or a cold on like a submarine, where you know you're just sick and gross and inside, you know.
It's all very sterile air. Well, it's funny because Dr. Crusher in a previous episode said that they have exterminated the common cold. So there's no longer the common cold. So I guess
I guess a mild sickness is probably like the worst thing that could ever possibly happen to them.
And no one was afraid to be near sick people. People were just like coughing, sneezing, and whatever. Hey, man. Crusher is rubbing up on, you know, Picard's back while he's in bed. And no, it was not a big deal. And everyone gets sick but her.
There's selfless people on that show. They'll throw themselves in harm's way. That B story, I'm sure, was on the wall for months.
Yeah.
Just, like, that was, there was one person who was trying to pitch that as, like, the main thing. Where, what if everybody just gets sick? And they're just like, no, just, we're not going to use that.
This is ridiculous. God damn it, Trent. Yeah, stop pitching that
why
story.
Why does Crusher get sick?
Yeah. She's blown away by it. She lives in the medical future, but she's like, everyone has this slight
hold on. But before we talk about this anymore, I think we have to talk about where this sickness comes from.
Okay, yeah. Let's start going through the plot. We'll actually hit these points. Okay. So it stays into... I took bad notes just because I was distracted by it. So... They have this planet that they have to go down for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. It's an oligarchy, so women control everything. So they send, which makes sense, they send men for whatever reason into this hostile environment, which is a typical Star Trek thing.
Well, they only sent one man. There's just Riker.
Right, and Data. Yeah. Half a man. One and a half man. So they send Riker, Data, Troy, and Yar down to the thing. We were laughing. So as they're going to the transporter bay to get there, Riker is carrying what looks to be leftovers. He's carrying a bundt cake wrapped in tin foil. And they bump into Wesley Crusher and what I had assumed was his gay lover or his co hair metal band member.
Yeah. I don't even know. judging from what they're wearing and their interaction with Picard afterwards, some shady shit I think is going down on the holiday.
So
keep going.
No, Wesley has this mute Asian friend who doesn't say anything, and they are wearing form-fitting, glittery spandex with little headbands.
Yeah, from like the Masters of the Universe. Yeah.
And they are they're doing something. They don't really say what they're saying. They just bump into him in the holodeck.
I think they're going on a ski trip.
But they don't say that at that point, do they?
No,
I think
they do.
They do?
Yeah, I think they say something about it right in the beginning.
Oh, I thought Picard getting the thing late, like running into them, was the only hint.
No, because they run in, as soon as they run in, and Wesley just like smashes Snow like in space from like 6 inches away.
Oh, yeah. That's the first.
Yeah, he just like takes like a snowball and just nails him like full on in the face.
Yeah.
Okay, so they see them.
They pranced in the holodeck too.
Were they at the holodeck at that point?
They were literally, as soon as they interact with them, they literally, the door opens and it's Snow, and they just like jump out there.
Okay, so they're enjoying themselves in the holodeck, which I didn't remember being revealed, but I guess it was. And Riker and all of them go down carrying their turkey or cake or whatever, and they go to meet the Angel One people, which is, it's this like typical Star Trek thing. They're like, this is exactly like 20th century Earth. And you go there and you're like, I'm living in 20th century Earth. If this is how society actually operates, where it's like they flipped it, you know, but now it would be like if a woman just came into her boss's office and she's like, I think we should do this. And he's like, well, you're a fucking woman, so you don't deserve to do anything. It's a very like harsh interpretation of what they're doing.
Yeah, it's it's not a very subtle flip. And I think maybe they should have taken another pass at that.
They've only got 42 minutes.
Yeah. Well, they maybe should have taken another pass at the whole situation instead of having... This comes up later, but instead of having Riker have, like, a monologue. Or somebody... No. One of the guys from the Odin ship have a monologue about how tough it is to be a white guy.
We'll get to him. I have a few things to say about him. But yeah, they go down, and it's a bunch of women who run this place, and the only men you see are subservient, and the main one seems to be like an elven version of Conan O'Brien. He's very small.
I said he looks kind of like Tilda Swinton.
he's a tiny, shaved chest, to contrast himself with Riker or whatever. They wear, I guess they're supposed to be like sexualized clothing on the men? Is that what they're supposed to be wearing? They're wearing open shirts.
I don't know, but all the women are dressed in like bags.
Yeah.
And all the men are dressed like extras from Staying Alive.
They are staying.
My take on it was, since women are doing all the work now, that the men are responsible for all the fashion design, and so they literally just cut up rugs.
And they're just terrible at it.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. Even like the soldier's uniform was a gray rug that was cut, you know?
And it...
Or maybe the women are still in charge of that. They just don't have time to put a lot of
That was like a homemade, like your mom made your costume. Like that was everybody there.
They probably make their own pants on this planet. A lot of them.
They wear the pants. They make and wear those pants. So they're on Angel One. It does a lot of this early season one shit where they're like, this is an alien tradition to kneel while you talk to each other. Let's do that. So they kneel and they talk. And I wrote down that the Angel Oneers are very snarky.
Yes,
they have a lot of attitude. Not just because they're women. Not just because they're women. Just snarky in general. And they are. What do they do at that point? They tell them just to hang out. They're allowed to just hang out, right? At that point, as they look for Ramsay.
First they have to decide whether or not those people are there.
Right, they haven't determined that they're there yet.
When Riker and everybody else asks where the survivors are, they don't say that they exist at all until they have like a little meeting that is no way.
They are not ready to confirm it yet.
Yeah.
That's the direct quote.
So they need time. They need time. So yeah, they reconvene, and I can't remember if it's at that point where they let them know, but at any point, it goes back to the Enterprise. And this is where Worf and Picard are buddy-buddy walking with no particular reason. It does a lot of this, too, where people are doing things.
Well, they're talking about the quote-unquote C story.
Yeah.
Which is something way more interesting is happening in the new
season. Oh, yeah.
On their way to the fireworks factory.
Like, seven goddamn Romulan warbirds are about to blow a fucking colony to hell. And like, well... Let's hang out here and talk to this guy who's been marooned on this planet for 7 years and is boning all the women. So yeah, they called a MacGuffin, I think, where they just a MacGuffin is a plot device that's just introduced just to cause something else to like be rushed on. So the rush is that the Romulans are invading the neutral zone. We haven't seen the Romulans yet either. No, so the Romulans are invading the neutral zone and. There's some other ship out there that's about to get blown up, and the Enterprise has to get there in order to save this. So there's this like false sense of urgency to what's going on. And Picard and Worf are walking, and Picard turns around and gets hit by a snowball.
Oh yeah,
apparently, and stains his tunic, as they refer to it, which is a. And they just got done with a holodeck episode too. They're very loose with the holodeck rules. You know, when people leave the holodeck, they die. But you can apparently throw snow out of the holodeck.
Yeah.
And it's fine. Yeah. Like, that actually exists.
Once again, this brings up something I've always wondered. Why do people use the holodeck? Because it never ends well.
It's funny, because on Deep Space Nine, they use it as a sex lair.
That makes sense.
Which is funny, because people always come out of it. They don't, like, R-rate it, but they're in there, like, the women are in there, and they're getting massages from, like, sexy men.
Right.
And it's like, oh. They call it Hollis Sweet, too.
They have the same look in their face that Wesley and his friend
have. So, yeah, but it's funny, because in the previous episode, The Big Goodbye, it was, like, their holodeck introduction episode, which is stupid, because they had shown the holodeck in the pilots, and they showed what it could do. And Picard uses the holodeck in The Big Goodbye, and he is... His fucking mind is blown by it. And he calls a meeting in the episode where he tells everyone about the holodeck. And it would be like if I called you and I was like, Sean and Clay, come over. And I brought out like a toaster. I was like, have you seen this toaster? It makes fucking bread. You're like, yeah, we've dealt with toasters for a very, very long time. But yeah, Picard's blown away. And then Wesley and his mute Asian friend are skiing. They hit Picard with a snowball. And then Worf says it smells like something.
Yeah.
Which is implying
like a local herb or something like that.
Some kind of Klingon herb.
Yeah.
Which seems to imply marijuana at this point.
Marijuana if you're lucky.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, they're on a ski trip.
Yeah.
Just hanging out in the lodge. Just a
couple dudes to do. By themselves.
And this is the...
But Wesley denies it, like awkwardly, like, no.
No, he,
there was nothing.
They don't deny it. He just says, like
he smelt it too?
No, unless he was making reference to the snowball thing where he's like, I'm sorry, it just happened.
The smell or the snowball.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what he's referencing.
The writer's,
it could be many things.
He's just covering his bases.
But what, because the smell thing comes up and then they're looking at each other and he's like, I'm sorry, Captain. It just happened. So I don't know what was going on.
I was just thinking it'd be like, it'd be a great excuse, like, if Amy came home and I was just, like, sitting here alone in the dark and it's just like, I'm sorry, it just happened. You're like, what? Why does it smell like elderberry in here or whatever? So they smell this smell, which is supposed to be important. And obviously you notice it because they spend 5 minutes talking about it. But it's forgotten until later in the episode. They cut back to the planet. They're all hanging out in the little thing, the little room. And it's one of these situations that the early seasons really love, where Data is apparently an android that studied all these books, but he knows nothing about any sort of common
driving
word.
Driving me nuts.
He doesn't know what perfume is. And Riker takes great pleasure in explaining that it creates sexual urges or something.
He takes great pleasure in explaining what perfume is and is for.
Which, I just think is it's a cover-up. Make people smell nice. I never think about it as, like, sexual desire thing, but Riker would know.
Oh, yeah.
But it continues, Data doesn't know jack shit unless someone tells him about it.
But later, so I can't remember. I don't know how Data gets his knowledge, if it was manually uploaded or whatever, but it seems like it was manually uploaded by someone who just picked and chose. Because he doesn't know what perfume is or what the word aphrodisiac means.
Right.
But later in the episode when someone mentions bingo, he's like, oh yeah, that's that game that old people used to play.
Yeah. And he should understand that because bingo is I win. Right. He draws no connection. He just knows he knows the least amount of what he can possibly know about something.
I love it when he says ancient Earth. Bingo is no longer played. They've evolved beyond bingo.
Yeah.
Right, because we wouldn't refer to 1620 as ancient Earth, right? You gotta go a ways back. They're only 400 years in the future at this point.
Yeah, well, so much has changed.
That the common cold is eliminated. Doctors are horrible.
There's no difference between shirts and pants anymore.
So the women, my loose notes are the women come back in and they want to talk to, they want to have negotiate or whatever. Riker pipes up with saying he's going to do something, and the woman shoots him down saying he's just a man and he can't do anything. So Data pipes in and says, even though he's atomically like a man, he is not actually a man, and they buy that, and they bring him in. And at that point, Yar is doing her first season thing where she just objects to everything stupidly. And Riker in this, Riker to go meet with these people, he decides he's going to wear the garb. Mm-hmm. And the two women in the show react like this is the craziest thing, where to me it kind of makes sense, like this would be Starfleet tradition. You dress like they dress or whatever. But the two women are appalled so that Riker is going to wear his shirt.
I feel like
his sexy shirt.
Yeah, I feel like crazier things have happened, that's not something that they should be surprised at. Especially with him.
Yeah, so he wears his garb, which is a flowery robe with purple pants and an earring. I guess he wears something on his ear. Yeah. And he comes out in a great shot of just his nipple, just exposed.
Just one.
Just one nipple.
That's all you need with him.
Loosey-goosey.
Shitload of chest hair.
A lot of chest hair, yeah. Apparently the fashion has swung back the other way, back to men are just men in the 24th century.
Well, they saw that chest hair, and the producers were probably like, we need that, but on his face.
I'm only taking Riker seriously in his open-breasted tunic. What can we do to fix this? Yeah, so Riker, gets an air of importance in his new outfit, and he goes back out, and at this point, the sickness is spreading on the ship, I guess. Picard is getting sick. He's too ill to do anything. And this is, it's really just, it is such a stupid storyline. It's like, they are mildly ill, and apparently they cannot do anything.
Nope, nobody dies.
Nobody dies. If you're going to have them get sick, why not have them, like, unable to move, or, like, vomiting or something, be like, oh, this guy actually can't do jack shit, but.
Well, judging by Patrick Stewart's acting in the scene where he gets sick, he's either sick or coming down off of heroin.
Crusher is a little invasive. Yeah. Crusher is all, he's trying to review something on his computer, and she's like jabbing him in the ass with her little.
And he's like thing. He's like shaking like Chris Rock in New Jack City.
Not now, Doctor. I must get. Yeah, so he's Picard. He's actually playing the role correctly of being somewhat sick, and it's funny because he's the only. He's like the only good actor on the show. Spiner's good too, but he plays Data, so it's like it's more reserved. But maybe it's just his actually playing the part right makes it seem like he's overacting at that point, where it's, he really should be getting sick. Everyone should be everyone should be shitting their pants if I'm expected to believe that they can't do what they want to do.
Speaking of bad acting, every single like extra, or not even extra, every single non main character was the worst. Every single one of the people on the other planet was absolutely terrible. Their president was just...
With one exception. Trent was killing. I'll tell you why. Because every scene that Trent was in, I could tell that he didn't like Riker. And he kind of was like, fucking met this guy coming in with his chest hair. Like, I thought that there was going to be something where he threw in some sort of snag or...
insult.
Exposed people, you know, something plot-wise. Because he was selling that. He was not happy that Riker was there.
Yep.
Stealing his wife.
He's the, I haven't seen Django, but I assume he'd be like the, Samuel L. Jackson type role. He's like the, the house Negro or whatever.
Yeah, kind of. You're like the house pasty white guy.
The house Conan O'Brien. So everyone's getting sick. Picard's too ill. And Geordi, I think this is the only time Geordi ever takes command of the Enterprise, which I guess is what happens when you send your senior crew to a planet. You're left with the lieutenant.
That's never made sense to me, because they always send off like the top five guys. Yeah.
They must survive. But yeah, it's the first time I've ever seen that actually bite them in the ass, where Geordi, who's just a lieutenant at this point, is in command. A little power trip, I think. Sitting in the chair a little too, yelling at people, demanding things that they do. Oh, Riker nipples, we got that. And then Riker just decides to have sex with the president of Woman Nonia.
He doesn't decide. That was the thing. That was the first thing he thought from like the minute they told him about that planet.
Yeah. So she seduces him. And that's it. He goes in there, and then the people who are on the planet, Yar, Data, and Troy, learn that platinum doesn't exist on this planet, so they can trace where the crash survivors are by finding platinum and then beaming over there. So they just beam over there, which we would figure they could do in the first place.
The search was 15 seconds long.
Yeah.
The second they decided to look for him, they said, look for platinum. They found it.
Yeah.
And then they find the guy, and they're like, how'd you find us? He goes, oh, platinum. And he's like, oh, my little wings, and he has a little pendant, and that's it. It's all the platinum on the planet.
Yeah.
Oh, my wings? Like that episode of Wings I'm on at Tuesdays, 7 Central? Yeah, so they find the feathered hair of Ramsey, who...
he's dressed like a... cast member from Battlestar Galactica.
He is, and he spends 90% of his role with his arms crossed, I think, looking dour. He's always arms crossed. So, at this point, the episode is just cutting back and forth between sickness and people on the planet. Riker is macking it on the lady. He gives her the turkey or the bundt cake.
Does he ever.
And he unwraps it. It's some kind of crystal that glows, and we're supposed to be impressed. And then I was just thinking...
I think it was an ashtray, like a glowing ashtray.
Yeah, it was like a Mad Men. Like there, you see it on an episode of Mad Men, where it's just they push and cigarettes pop out of the ashtray. It's got a light in it, though. And so I wrote down here, just Riker is having like a college makeout fest with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
He's just... He is Commander Blue Balls.
because of fucking Trent. Because Trent comes in and ruins everything.
But we were just three talking. Times. Me and Amy went out yesterday with friends, and we were just talking about how like there was a lot more just making out when you were younger, like before anything happened. Like I remember in college, and I was working in the hotel. I was doing hotel stuff all day, and I'd have to go down into the basement where there's like a study area. And I would go through, and this guy and this girl were just making out for like 5 hours. You know, and it's just to the point where it's like, are you guys going to fuck? Or are you just going to hang out here? And it's like, everything is so slow, where nowadays, it like, as you get older, it's just like, it just goes into it more. It's not like you spend 5 hours making out.
You got a lot more stuff to do now.
You do, yeah. So why even kiss? Who cares about this? So it's like, That's what Riker's doing. Riker's just rolling around on a bed, making out with the leader of the free worlds, and then Trent comes in. And
my favorite part of that is a little blocking thing where at one point she like rolls on top of him, and he clearly puts his hand up to move her hair out of her face, because her face is in camera.
Riker directed the episode. God damn, we're on the end of the roll. Gotta get through this. So why does Trent come in?
I don't know. I forget.
I don't, yeah. He came in like three times.
Yeah.
That time may have been when they came back. Yeah, the ladies had come back from meeting with Griff. What the hell is that guy's name?
Ramsay.
And they're like, we're not going. So then they come back and they're like, yeah, we ain't leaving. Or we're not taking them. That was why they came back.
Okay. So, yeah, he comes in and interrupts. And Picard is, they cut back to the ship. It's a whole bunch of just cutting back and forth between the B and the A line. Picard is shirtless because he doesn't want Jonathan Frakes to show him up on this episode, so he takes his shirt off and gets sick.
The chest hair wrangler on this episode, I hope, got paid well.
The makeup artist had to work some overtime. And yeah, as you were saying, Crusher comes in to someone who is so sick that it's causing a shipwide emergency and gives him something foul-tasting, which is medicine, I guess.
You know what? Every medicine, everything is always injected into the neck in a little, you know, dispenser. Why the hell did she give him any? Why did he drink something?
There's nothing. She just wanted to give him a little hot toddy or whatever the hell it was he drank. And he's delirious at this point. So he at least is making sense about why he can't be commanding the ship. And it cuts back to the planet where Data is now more forcefully bringing up the fact that the Romulans are attacking. We really need to get our shit in order.
There's more interesting things going on.
Tune in next week to see more interesting things.
When are they going to get to the fireworks factory?
And Riker argues with the woman. She approves. He applies for, he wants them to be banished or something. I don't know what he's arguing for. He's trying to either get them off the planet or something.
Data?
Riker, he's talking to the woman.
I don't know, my eyes glazed over pretty good.
he's talking to the woman about getting them off the planet. And she instead imprisons them, because we're not done with this sort of nonsense that the plot has to go through to get us to the end. And then Data is sent back to the ship, because he can't get sick.
Oh, we forgot a big part, though. That the wife of the guy who landed on the planet is...
Joe Biden.
No, Mistress Ariel, the number two to the person who runs the planet.
Yeah, so
you got to go through the government system. There's six mistresses, and then there is the elected one, who is the president.
Hey, mistress didn't seem like the right word.
No.
I feel like that script would be like, mistress is not the right thing.
Well, it's more exotic sounding than saying like Ms.
Empress or
I don't know.
But elected one was absolutely the incorrect term. Yeah. It was so goofy.
Go with an alien language or something.
You would have respected an elected one.
I mean, it is funny because it's not even like royal blood. You're just democratically elected and you must be, it's not like you're a monarch or like divine or anything. You must respect the divine one would make more sense.
Yeah.
So Data goes back. Data does his little nonsense thing where he follows orders to a T and does not leave because he calculates that. I like how he calculated the imminent time it would take for everyone who's fighting to die before we arrive, and at that moment we can show up and get to the neutral zone. It says it'll take 5 hours to get there. The ship and the colony can fight and die for a few hours until we get there, and then we'll show up and be all set.
We have 48 minutes.
We have 48 minutes. 47. Yes.
47 now.
Because we're going to commercial.
Starting now. And so this is the urgency. Riker needs to do something. They're all hanging out. Trent comes in, says he's going to bring everyone out. They all come out. They've captured all the people. And they show them that they're going to execute them by turning them into vases, I guess. That's what the thing is. So their method of execution...
They ruined a really nice piece of pottery.
They did. I wouldn't need to. If you were going to be executed, I don't think I'd need a demonstration of how it was done. Like, if they're like a lethal injection, they'd be like, would they bring in a dummy and like stab it with a needle and be like, that's what you're going
to
get?
They needed to show off the machine that uses the same special effect that they use for like four other things in that show. It's kind of like beaming up, but only with like microwave lights on the side.
I want the warp core, but I want it to be purple.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, they're basically going to execute them by disintegration, I think, is what they termed it. Riker puts up a stink, or the other weird thing is, while they're right before they come out to do this, Riker says that they can't save anyone because the Prime Directive forbids it from happening.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't make any sense. Because my understanding of the Prime Directive is you can't interfere with a culture, basically. Like, right. if they're unaware of you, you can't interfere with them.
Right.
So, I don't understand how saving people interferes with the Prime Directive. And then, after that, I would say he arguably shits in the face of the Prime Directive when he goes, you're going to evolve, and you're going to change, and you're going to become better. And that causes them to think about it and go, oh my god, we're going to change. And so they leave, they come back, they say, you've convinced us, in violation of the Prime Directive that you were against violating earlier. Now we will let you go, and we're going to banish these people to a place where they can't interfere quite as much with
us. They banish them to hard labor.
Yeah,
they're like, they're a place where they have no time to do anything because life is going to be so hard and terrible for them. And everybody smiles like it's good. Well, and she's like, oh, Riker, you're so good for a man.
Yeah, no, that was the thing. Yeah, they talk about this awful fate, but everyone's like giving knowing smiles to each other. Yeah. Like, it's
at least
like,
we're not dead.
We changed our minds. We came around to your way of thinking. We're just going to banish them to the Siberia now.
Riker's just like, three to beam up. And Ramsey's like, no. They just leave. And he's like, oh, shit. So Ramsey and his wife and the rest of them are now being sent to basically, like, Siberia.
No. They get to go free. Only the four guys are sentenced to Siberia.
I assume their wives are going with them.
I did. To my knowledge, Manny, I think they said, everybody is like, you get your children back, and you're going to go back to society. The four guys go to Siberia.
Well, if that's true, they were better off before the Enterprise tried to rescue them.
Oh, yeah. That's totally what happened.
Well, now, I don't know if I missed it or what, but why were these people who were shipwrecked, why were they a problem in the first place?
I don't know.
They were encouraging men to fight for their rights.
No, but why did the Enterprise care about them?
Like, because there was a freighter that had escape pods.
7 years ago, though.
Yeah.
Like, what did they do to find them? They knew enough to find them, but not know that they were actually there. Which is a weird kind of combination.
Yeah. Like, because they went down with the purpose of rescuing them, but I don't know if it was ever expressed that they were in any danger. And also, it was like 7 years later.
Right.
So, they could have all been dead.
Exactly.
Well, that's why they went and asked, and then they got the non-committal answer.
Well, they could have just spent 5 minutes figuring out where they were on the planet and just beamed down to them and been like, you guys okay? They go, yeah, we're okay. We got wives and everything. They go, okay.
Yeah,
they
sure.
I like how that's the epitome of everything's okay, too. They're like, we have wives. We don't need...
Well, in this planet it is, because they run everything.
I did like in the planet everyone was human, and right when Starfleet shows up, they're like, we have heard of Starfleet. It's like, of course you have. You guys are fucking human.
Yeah, I don't know what the... I never know what the connection these planets have to Starfleet, if they're vaguely aware of them.
Are they human? Are they a completely different race that has evolved, that looks exactly like us? Do they ever address any of that?
They address why everyone is humanoid in the universe.
Everyone can be humanoid, I get it. Like, you could say this is a higher, whatever, order, body type. But what's the deal with people who look exactly human?
Right.
Clearly human enough that you can breed with and produce offspring with regular humans.
Well, the explanation in the later episode, they explain why everyone is humanoid, which basically ties into that. And, like, there was one species, like, billions of years ago that seeded the universe with its genome. And all the genomes evolved into different species.
So Prometheus.
Right, yeah, and they meet them, and they are just, like, blank slate human. Like, they're just, like, smooth, like,
yeah,
everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
so...
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, it...
makes
it does not, it does not, not make sense. Yeah, so it's fine. And, yeah, so, I mean, that's the episode. But here, let me... Sorry for the bang on the microphone, but the actual... What's funny is, like, the first season I've learned how... Roddenberry is exactly like Lucas and that he's a great universe builder,
yeah.
but he is horrible at the actual plot story points that you want to put into your thing.
Right.
So a lot of the first season scripts were the show doesn't get good until the third season, really, but it's because the first two seasons had this revolving door of...
Because he dies. That's why
he gets too ill. The beeline of his story takes place and he can no longer command the Enterprise.
Yeah.
But there's a revolving door of writers in the first two seasons. And a lot of them refuse to take story credits because the scripts they would submit would be rewritten so much to this level of badness that they were like, I don't want my name on the script. And they would not stick around for more than a season. A lot of them quit halfway through the season. And the... I'll just read what this script was actually supposed to be about. So Herbert Wright, who was the producer at the time, the episode was to be a commentary on apartheid in South Africa with the men on the planet representing black people. The original plot by Patrick Berry would have seen Riker and Data travel to the surface with an otherwise all-female away team, which offended the planet's leaders to the extent that Yar has to stun Riker with a phaser as a show of strength in order to prevent his immediate execution. Riker is imprisoned as one of the marooned men named Lucas Jones, which is a better name than Ramsey, I guess.
Not by much.
Lucas Jones begins an uprising. Jones is killed during the uprising, but his death inspires his followers to assault and overthrow the government.
That would be a lot better episode.
Which is
doesn't fix any of the underlying issues with the analogy they're making. I don't know. I think... Having like I said before, having your protagonist be in underprivileged white men who are rising up against powerful, strong women, not the best way to go.
Hey, have you seen Reddit recently? This is exactly what
I was thinking. I was thinking that. I was like, I'm surprised that there isn't like an Angel One movement or something.
They shouldn't call men, what is it, MRA? Men's Rights? Is that what
yeah,
they're
saying? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Just call them Angel One or
yeah, I was thinking about that kind of thing where it's like, oh, that's a really slippery slope to get into.
It was a lot harder to be a white man in the early 90s.
Yeah.
We've gotten a lot of things now, you know, that we can't relate to back, you know, what it was like to be white back
oh,
then.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
Or 400 years from that one.
I mean, the glasses were much bigger.
You got so much soda.
Yeah.
You were getting your supersized, you know, meals for large prices.
Everything was in like Day-Glow colors.
But it's just in the same line. There was an episode called Code of Honor, where the script has them meet this planet that is like tribal. Basically, they're very old.
Yeah.
Like everything's very like honor based, and they're tribal and they wear like tribal sort of clothing. And the director got fired halfway through because he cast all of them black.
Oof.
Every single actor is black on the thing. And so that it's like this awkward, the script itself is not racist, but once you cast everyone as a black person, you're
right.
Like, ooh, now this is just horribly racist.
Yeah.
And so it's the same kind of nonsense here. It's just, it makes more sense as like an apartheid story, which it loses that in what we actually watched, where it's more of a sexist thing.
Well, what's interesting is, I was thinking about this, I'm not super familiar at this point, because it's been so long since I've watched this stuff, I'm not super familiar with Tasha Yar's character, but I was thinking, it kind of makes more sense if she's the main character for this episode, because she's kind of like a, you know, badass, you know, woman from like a...
A rape planet. They bring that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what she would be the... Yeah, she was... The planet... Starfleet, like, saved her. They found, like, some starship or something, went to her planet. Her planet is just, like, this chaotic mess where the only thing they mention about it is that there's no law and there are rape gangs that, like, roam the countryside.
Like, I feel like focusing on her would be a lot more interesting than... You know...
That's true, yeah.
Riker, who zippers halfway down before he gets off the ship.
Right. Well, it's the Roddenberry thing. Roddenberry's got such a boner for Kirk, just going down and fucking his way out of the problem. He's like, Riker should handle this one.
Riker
really, Yar should do it.
At least at this point, or in this episode, Riker is a terrible officer.
He's Kirk.
Yeah,
he's Kirk.
Yeah. Also, his blocking is hilarious. I don't know. I can kind of, watching these again, I can kind of see that Jonathan Frakes is like totally self-aware of what he's doing and what he's in and what they're making him do. Because some of the ways that he inserts himself into scenes is just nonsense. Yes. Where they cut to him and his like ass is out leaning on a door.
He's
and,
a big fan of throwing his leg up.
Yeah, he's throwing, or like, I'm sure you've seen that super cut of
him chair.
Climbing over the chairs. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Yeah, you got, it's really good.
Once you notice it, you're like, yeah. that is bizarre.
He never, like, pulls out a chair. He always legs.
Oh, he mounts the chair. And so...
But, I mean, yep. you can see it, like, in his eyes as you're watching it that he knows what he's doing is ridiculous.
I guess the thing for that is he has a bad back. That's his excuse, really? Anyway. Yeah. Okay. And apparently, they had to redo the uniforms that they... Because they're wearing onesies at this point. And they were saying that the cast were having back problems from the things being too tight, and so they would like hunch a lot just to alleviate their, because they're filming for 8 hours a day or whatever.
Right, right.
And so that's why they gave them the two-piece thing, where eventually it became the Picard maneuver, where he would pull his tunic down. And there's a joke on Reddit, the Riker maneuver is, because it has to be a sexual maneuver, because he's Riker, but it's when you throw your leg over dead ass. Riker it up. But yeah, that's Angel One. It's a bad episode. I've been ranking them. I give them 1 to 5s. It's a 2. It's not an abomination.
I think, I don't know. Like I said, that the approach they're going with is really tough. But I think there was a better episode in there.
Yep.
But, I don't know. Who knows? They need to have weird holodeck STD disease or whatever that was.
Yep.
They never address what happens with the disease.
Well, they never address where the disease came from.
Yeah, either, right? No, it's a complete mystery.
I thought when they were like, Wesley Crusher was on the holodeck. Wesley Crusher was doing stuff. I was like, did Wesley Crusher do it? They're like, Wesley Crusher had nothing to do with this. It just happened. It's like, why wouldn't it make more sense if Asian Lover was the one that like brought on some kind of like was doing some experiments on the ski slopes or something. But it makes no sense. It didn't come from the planet. Didn't come from the ship.
Yeah.
They just got sick. Mildly. They got mildly ill.
Yeah, I have no idea. if you catch a disease on the holodeck,
is it a real disease at that point?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
If you die in a dream, do you really die? Is that...
Because if it was canon, you know, if you get, like, super nerdy, the ice should not have been able to exist outside of the holodeck. It should have just disappeared as soon as it goes through the door.
Right.
So if you create a disease on the holodeck and infect yourself with it, when you leave, the disease should stop because you've exited the holodeck.
Well, you would think so, but it wouldn't because clearly the technology is flawed. Because every time they use it, it becomes sentient and tries to kill everybody.
How big is the holodeck? Because
it's like the size of this room.
Yeah, it's like a small room. But in the episode, they said that they turned it into an isolation unit. Was it just like 150 people just crammed into a tiny room?
That is a good question. Yeah, because, I mean, they have... And if you're in there, how do you not hit the wall? Does the holodeck create treadmills under you whenever you walk somewhere so you stand in place?
The answer is it doesn't matter. Yeah. The answer is. The other thing that bugged me about this is both the guy, the leader of the Odin crew, and the leader of the planet were being ridiculous solely for plot purposes. Like, what's his name, Ramsay?
Ramsay is the... Ramsay's,
His refusal to want to leave in the face of being executed is preposterous.
Well, his desire, he hasn't been gone for 20 years. He must have a family that he would like to see.
Yeah.
And he can take his wife and be like, yeah, Enterprise, like, thanks for coming to get me. What the fuck took so long?
Yeah.
But here I am ready to go.
And on the flip side, for the leaders of the planet to be like, well, okay, we're going to kill all of you then. It's like, what? There's no... Unless they stated at the beginning and I missed it, I don't know what the initial conflict between those two groups is.
No, I guess I saw that too. They don't really state what men's role in that society is. They're submissive.
Yeah.
But then you get the impression that if they do something wrong, they just kill them, as opposed to like, they're never very clear about what is wrong with being a man or, like, what the problem is with it.
Well, they seem to have fairly prominent positions. They weren't the elected officials, but the men were doing all kinds of stuff.
Well, they're the assistants. They're the help,
if it's supposed to be, you know, apartheid, I don't think that they have the black people, the ones, you know, pulling the lever in executions.
Yes.
No. Trent was doing that. Trent was holding the,
Trent couldn't wait to just...
I think Trent asked. I think he asked.
Put Riker in there first. It was the only thing he said.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, but if that was the case, if it was... If there was a quick draw thing on executing the men, if they had showed that earlier in the episode, it might have made more sense instead of just being like an off with their head sip scenario that, you know, was only there because we needed a conflict.
Yeah. All right. Oh, well, Angel One, a beautiful episode. But I usually end these things by, I read like a little bit of snippet of what people have actually, like real television critics have wrote, or written, I guess would be to say. So let's see here. You can chime off on what you think. Reviewers rewatched the episode following the end of the series. Keith DeCandido reviewed the episode for Tor.com. He described the episode as being one of the most sexist episodes of Star Trek ever produced under the veneer of feminism, and that the virus subplot was filler and boring filler at that. Overall, he said it was one of the absolute low points of the show, giving it a score of 2 out of 10. Will Wheaton watched it for AOL TV and thought that he said that it started well, but soon descended into an appearance from an episode of the original series with Riker in the Kirk role. He also noted that the speech Riker gave towards the end of the episode hadn't given to Yar or Troy, then the overall message would have been more subtle.
There you go.
Yeah, there it is.
Question. Maybe this is something you've already covered, maybe not. Is Troy's accent real, or is that a characterization? Like, is that the actress's real accent?
No, she's British. That she is making an accent.
Ugh.
Which is... It's hard to place what it is. Is she trying to do an American accent?
No, it's definitely something else.
Well, I mean, the show immediately was like, fuck accents. So, like, when they call him Jean-Luc Picard and he's French and he insists on being in French and he obviously has an English accent.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like,
yeah, I don't know what that choice was, but it's weird.
Yeah, no, because she is very British when you hear her actually speak. Marina Sirtis. I feel bad for her. They definitely do not like the women on the show. Yar, her only thing is to get outraged about things that aren't really outrageable. It's like, just tone it down. Like, we're here on their planet. You can dress however you want. And then Troy is there too. She goes, something's wrong. And then they come in the door. There's like no time to escape. Yeah. She goes, something's wrong. They're in there. Oh, fuck it. Well.
Well, I mean, it's true, but it's, I mean, at that point in television history, there's not a lot of precedent for well-written female characters in those kind of roles.
No.
I mean, even the original Star Trek didn't write women characters, but that was, I mean, in the 60s. But there are, I can't think of any other shows similar in concept or ensemble to that, where the female characters are actually given something worthwhile to do.
Yep.
Until you get to the X-Files a couple of years later.
Yep. And, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't know enough.
I'm sorry if I'm offending any Scarecrow and Mrs. King fans out there.
But the same with, there's a lot of black actors, too.
Yeah.
It's like a very mixed, it is a very diverse like cast. Yeah. And he was happy to do that. What the hell was I just thinking? Oh, I can't remember.
You were saying you felt bad for Marina Sirtis because she didn't have a lot to do.
Oh, the other thing that someone had mentioned it on like the Star Trek Reddit or something. I had never realized it, but it makes a lot of sense. In like, what's her rank? What do they call her?
Counselor. Yeah.
In the early season, she's not supposed to be a therapist, which she becomes later on. She is counsel to Picard. Like she's like an advisor.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it's only later that they're like, oh, you're actually just a ship's therapist, which is a stupider role. And it makes sense with her telepathy that she would be like an advisor to him.
Mm-hmm.
But they abandon, and it's a much cooler thing to do than just be like, you know, ship's therapist and just hanging out with sick people. Or
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It's not as cool, but I think it opens her up to do more instead of just being primarily
this guy's lying to you,
captain. Yeah. It definitely gives her a lot more to do.
That's true. It's like a cooler role to be the advisor to the captain than to be the counselor.
It's like being consigliere.
Yeah, basically. Well, that's it. Angel One, episode 14. Did I say? I think I did. Episode 14 of season 1. Not a great episode, but what are you going to do? It takes a while. We've got 50 episodes to go until the show actually starts hitting its peak. Jesus.
You're going to be here for a while.
I'm going to be here for a while.
It's a long show.
Lock the doors. All right, guys. Thank you very much. And you can check out Clay. I'll put links to his stuff in the description. Sean, I'll link to your Facebook. And I will see you guys next time. See you.
Thanks.